Now let's come to the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now Paul answers the question here in 1 Corinthians 15. How are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Well, let's pick it up here in verse 37. What you sow is not the body that shall be. Rather, it is bare grain. It may be of wheat or another grain. So he's giving an analogy here. And God gives it a body according to his will, and each of the seeds its own body. Likewise, all flesh is, not all flesh is the same. Rather, there's one flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another of fish, another of birds. And there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is different, and the glory of the earthy is different. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. And of course, Jesus said in the resurrection, we'll shine like the sun. Daniel also said that those who turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars of heaven. Now, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. And it does. It's wasted away. It is weak. It's not very pretty. It is not desirable. It's corruption. It is raised in incorruption. That's the power of God. It is sown in dishonor. Verse 43. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. See, it's going to be a whole different situation. And this is what we need to keep our eyes on. Not just the physical maladies that we're going through or the weakness or the process of aging. That's going to happen to all. And the same thoughts that you have in aging, everybody's had the same thoughts when they were aging. Okay? Verse 44. It's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now, that's the greatest transhumanism that you ever want to know. See? There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now, verse 45 becomes a key. According as it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam became an ever-living spirit. It's two completely different things. That's why the building of character and growing in grace and knowledge, building of faith and hope and love, building the character that we read there in 2 Peter, the first chapter, is so important. Because what God is going to do is develop the character now and then give us the spiritual body at the resurrection. Okay. Verse 46, however, the spiritual was not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the one made of dust, so also are all those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly one, that's Christ, so also are all those who are heavenly. Christ, the Father, the angels, all made of spirit. Now here's a promise. Here's a promise right here. As we have borne the image of the one made of dust, all right, we all have a body? Yeah, we do. We're bearing that image. So shall we also bear the image of the heavenly one. That is, be as Christ. Now, this is going to be something, all right? Hold your place here and come to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. and verse 20. Last two verses in Philippians 3. But for us, the commonwealth of God, that is the kingdom of God, exists in heaven, from where also we are waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our vile bodies. And they are. When we come to the end of our lives, our bodies are old and vile and wearing down and breaking down and all of that. That it may be conformed to his glorious body. See? Transform it from what we are to what he is, according to the inner working of his own power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Now come back here to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. It's the secret of God. God alone has the power, the ability to do what we're reading about here, see? We shall not all fall asleep, and that's how God looks upon death. Just sleep. But we shall all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So all the worries about growing old, all the worries about the physical flesh will be all gone. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. And only God can give that to us. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Not there. It will cease. So that's what God is going to do with us, okay? Now, let's see what we need to look to, how we need to look to it, okay? Let's come to Ephesians, the third chapter. Here's what God is going to do. Now, this is going to be great. This is going to be fantastic. Ephesians, the third chapter. This is what we need to keep our minds on when we're facing the eventuality of death. You look beyond for the hope of God. You trust God for what he has said. You believe God. You know the resurrection is going to happen. Now, if there's the slightest doubt, then all you have to do is just, are you here? Do you exist now? Yes. Okay? Having the Holy Spirit of God and the fact that you exist now, if you're faithful to the end, is a guarantee you're going to have a spiritual body when you're resurrected. Spiritual body is spiritual mind. Now, and then as spirit beings, there's going to be so much that we're going to learn and grow, and knowledge and understanding. It's going to be a tremendous thing that's going to take place. All right, Ephesians 3. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. And this is, you get discouraged. You come to Ephesians, the third chapter, and you read this. Because this tells us, number one, God loves us. Does he love us when we're weak? Does he love us when we are hardly able to lift ourselves up? Yes, he does. Here Paul was in prison when he wrote this. Look what he was looking to. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And you've got a new name coming. And you're going to be in the family of God. See? You have the greatest hope in the world. We are going to escape the physical nature, the corrupt human nature, and we are going to be given the divine nature. We're going to be the sons and daughters of God, that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man, to have that faith, to have that strength, to have that belief, to have that love, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that's what we look forward to when we're coming toward the end of our lives, see. And that being rooted and grounded in love, because God loves you, Christ loves you, the brethren love you, you may be fully able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, the whole plan of God. Think about it for a minute. God has not made the universe in vain. All of that out there exists for a great plan and purpose that God has, which includes all of us. Keep your mind focused on that. And to know the love of Christ, which passes human knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what's going to happen when our bodies are transformed. That's going to be an amazing thing. Now here's a promise. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. So this is going to be fantastic, brethren. This is going to be amazing. That's why when you read there in the book of Revelation about all the saints on the sea of glass, there's a shout of joy of a multitude of people saying, Hallelujah! I mean, just think what it's going to be like. Everybody raised from the dead who are in the first resurrection. Now, we don't know how they may have died. We don't know what their last thoughts would be. But just imagine what it's going to be like when the angels are taking us up to the sea of glass. I don't know what conversation we're going to have. Oh, you're my angel. Yeah, had a difficult time with you from time to time, you know. But I'm here, and we're going to go up and meet Christ and God the Father and all the saints. Is that the sea of glass? Yep, that's where you're going. Woo, that is huge. Yes, indeed. Okay. Above all that we ask or think according to the power that is working in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Now, let's come to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Because here's what it's going to be. Revelation 21. Now, when we get to the end of our lives, there is pain, there is suffering, there are many breakdowns of the flesh and the systems of the body, okay? Don't worry about it. You're going to have a new body. Now, here's what's going to happen. Let's pick it up here in verse 3. And I heard a great voice from heaven say, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, that is, men made perfect, and women as well. And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. All the things we experience and go through, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, because the former things have passed away. Now that's tremendous. That's why we need to focus on this. See? Don't focus on your circumstances. God is going to change them. Don't worry. God loves you. Don't fret about it. Even if you're weak, Christ is still in you. even if you're unsightly and unmanageable physically, God still loves you. The human body is corruptible, and it's coming to an end. So we need to keep this hope in mind. Verse 5, and he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Then he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who thirsts, I will give freely of the fountain of the water of life. The one who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, let's come back to Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's see how we need to set our minds all the time. And especially as we're coming down to the time when we're getting weak, when we're getting old, and you can't do the things you used to do when you were younger. You can't run up and down the steps. You can barely walk up and down. Okay? And you can't fit into those clothes you did when you were younger. It just ain't gonna happen. Okay? Don't worry about those things. You need a little more sleep. That's fine. Enjoy it. All right. But here is the whole mindset that we need. Romans, the 8th chapter. All right? Verse 28. Don't look at the circumstances, because those are going to change. Regardless of what you're going through, and we all go through some terrible things. Verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Do you love God? Are you striving to serve God? Have you been yielded to God? Have you been overcoming? Have you been repenting? Have you been doing the things that God wants you to do? Answer is yes. You love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. And he's going to complete that purpose in you. God has a specific plan for each one of us. Now, by faith, we know it's going to be, but by still being in the flesh, we don't know what it's going to be. Now, notice, verse 29, because those whom he did foreknow, that's us now, and all the saints, and remember, as I've said, all the saints who have qualified for the kingdom of God are in the grave. They all died. Remember Peter, strong and powerful? What did Jesus say? He said, Peter, when you're old, you're going to be led about where you don't want to go. Old, feeble, hardly able to walk, having to have someone hold on to him and lead him around. Maybe he had a staff that he leaned on. But did God still love him? Yes. Had God neglected him? No. It's just all a part of becoming old. It's all a part of coming to the finish line. We all got to make the finish line, see? Did foreknow, he predestined. Now here is the end result. To be conformed to the image of his own son. Be made like Christ. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, the very fact that you have the Holy Spirit is you have part of the glory of God. But when you're resurrected from the dead, you will have the full measure of the Spirit. And there's the promise. He looks at us as how we're going to be when we're resurrected, glorified. Shine as the sun, shine as the stars. Now, verse 31, you look around life and everything that's going on. You look at your physical circumstances. You look at the difficulties you've gone through. Think about all the lessons and character you've learned of those things. Verse 31, What then shall we say to these things? Remember this, if God is for us, who can be against us? Hey? There's nothing against us. That's why God wants us to come to him every day. Now notice how important are we, individually and collectively. He who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also grant us all things together with him? Now, what are all those things going to be? We don't know. We know part of it is we're going to be in New Jerusalem. Now, what's that like going to be like to be in New Jerusalem? You know, it's not something, because Jesus said, if I go, I'll come again. And I'm preparing a place for you so that where I am, you may also be. That's a fantastic thing, isn't it, huh? Grant us all things together with him. Who shall bring an accusation against the elect of God? Well, Satan can't. He tries to bring it every day. Doesn't it say he accuses us day and night before the throne of God? That's why we repent every day, so that all of those things are wiped away. God is the one who justifies. Who's the one that condemns? It is Christ who died, but rather who is raised again, who is even now at the right hand of God and making intercession for us. So if you're getting weak and feeble, maybe you're even in bed, you can hardly raise your hand, Christ is making intercession for you. He is in you. He loves you. The very purpose of your life is being fulfilled. So because of that, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? So for those of us who are not facing death in the near future, we need to think about these things. There's a lot that's going to happen between now and the return of Christ, and a lot of things that we have never supposed that are going to take place. And we don't know what it's going to be like. But nevertheless, we need to set our minds. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? We'll have that, but Christ is with us. Distress and trouble, but he's with us in that too, isn't he? Or persecution. Christ was persecuted. The apostles were persecuted. Look at all of those who were persecuted and martyred. Or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. Now this is going to happen again. Verse 36. According as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are reckoned as sheep for the slaughter. That's going to be for the final martyrdom that's coming. But for them in those days, that was right imminent. They were being chased from city to city, thrown in jail, martyred, killed. But notice how God looks at it. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors, or that is victors, because that's what it means, through him who loved us. And here's the attitude that we need to have to continue. See, here's the attitude. For I am persuaded, you know, we're not to be like the king that Paul was talking to, and he said, Paul, you've almost persuaded me to be a Christian. No, for I am persuaded. This we have to have in a very fiber of our being, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is the attitude that we need to have. Yes, every day, someone is born and someone dies. And that's just the cycle of life that God has given. But he's reached down to call us to give us his Spirit. to give us his love, to show us his way, so that we can be in his family, so that none of these things in this life, though we have to go through them, though they may be difficult, they are not going to keep us from fulfilling the purpose and calling that God has given to us. So let's keep this in mind, and as we come closer and closer to the final days of our lives, let's make sure that we're drawing close to God so we can fulfill what God wants us to, and he can fulfill in us what he desires to. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.